Welcome to the Cyclomatic Fogcast.
It's Friday. It's after work.
And this is the Cyclone Fanatic Fogcast.
Get my geek on. Get my geek on.
The Cyclone Fanatic Fogcast is presented by Iowa's most recommended real estate agent, Mark Charter.
Now, hear this.
No other agent in Iowa offers more when you buy or sell your home through Mark Charter, including a customizable commission plan when you list your home. You choose 5, 6, or 7%. Read more about Mark Charter and see why he is Iowa's most recommended realtor at Trulia.com and MarkCharter.com.
This is how we roll.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter, Chris Williams, and Adam Gray.
Hey, what's up, Cyclone Nation? How's it going? Chris Williams here on the podcast, joined as always by Mark Charter, Mark Charter Real Estate, and Adam Gray. What's up, boys?
Absolutely everything.
Dude, I feel you. Like, the end of basketball season is supposed to equal sanity. It's been anything but.
Well, you know, it was easy to detach from basketball once Iowa State choked it away. But, you know, I'm keeping busy with other things.
How was Seton's birthday?
It was good. It was good. Neither one of you guys showed up, so that was good.
Did you get my message, though? I let you know why I could not make it.
I believe my wife got the message. Was it on Facebook?
It was on Facebook.
So my wife got it.
My parents came to town.
And then I heard, so my wife was under the assumption that Williams was coming.
I was planning on it.
And I think my dad was excited to meet Chris. And then he's like, where's Chris? I'm like, I don't know, because I didn't hear from him.
Wow.
No message.
I'm not trying to back out of it. I forgot.
See, Gray is normally the guy that's screwing stuff up. He's normally the one's like, I'm too good for you guys. I don't want to come over there and hang out. But at least he messaged.
Well, that's
time.
Yeah, that's because I have a lot more respect for you, Mark, than Chris. And I don't like to go out to Bondurant anymore because it's about an hour and a half away from where I live in Johnston. It's just
everything's an hour and a half from Johnston. It's the worst location in Des Moines.
Oh, yeah. Bondurant is way better.
It is. Right in between Ames, 15 minutes from downtown.
Huh.
Bondurant 10 minutes from Ankeny. It's perfect.
It's got a new grocery store over there.
Would you quit chewing your gum into the microphone?
Oh, I can't do that?
It's only a matter of time before some guy tweets at us and is angry.
Gray, welcome to your first ever Fogcast, apparently, as he's chomping his gum.
God, that was delicious, too.
What kind was it?
It was like a mint, Yeah, it's
like a mint julep.
Yeah, so I apologize about not making the birthday. I felt really bad that night. I like my parents came to town. I'm sorry.
I don't think you need to apologize to me. I think you need to apologize to a heartbroken 4-year-old.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad.
And
he says, "Where's Uncle Chris?" You know.
I feel bad. I feel bad. I really do. Like, I genuinely feel bad about missing Seton's big bash.
Yeah.
Turtle themed? I saw
Ninja
him on
Turtle,
Facebook.
Ninja Turtle themed.
Who's his favorite turtle?
He likes the purple one. I don't even remember the names.
You're better than that.
Nah, he likes the color purple.
It's Donatello.
He likes purple. I'm the blue one.
Turtle though.
He says I'm the blue one.
Yeah, that's the leader, Leonardo.
Yeah, that makes sense. Leader. Yeah.
Gray, who's your favorite turtle?
I like girls. I don't even know the names of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So you like April?
I'm 29 years old. I don't know. I don't know.
You didn't see the new turtle movie?
It was terrible.
It wasn't horrible.
I watched it and I thought it was awful, and I don't remember.
It wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad as you're making it out to be.
It was like a 1 out of 5.
It was the worst thing ever.
It was up there.
That's great. I think you're catching on with Gray. Things are either great or terrible. There's nothing in between.
I would rather watch the Iowa State UAB game again than watch that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game.
You don't mean that.
I do mean that.
You don't mean that.
Yeah, you really don't mean that.
If you do mean that, then get the hell out of here.
They're going to play that game.
Did you like that movie?
I didn't. I thought it was average.
So, wait. You haven't seen Office Space. You haven't seen Shawshank Redemption. You haven't seen all these greats, but you go watch a crappy Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
movie? I rented it on DirecTV.
Oh, okay.
That's pathetic.
That is sad.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? No, I didn't. That one, my wife got that for me because she knows how big of a turtle fan I am. She got that for me for, it was a gift. Valentine's Day, something like that.
I do like the fact that the turtles know karate and like pizza. That's about all I know about the turtles.
They like chicks.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I know less than both of you, apparently. So,
you didn't watch Turtles when you were a kid?
Not, I probably did, but not that I recall. I do remember.
You're older though. I mean, it's.
I'm an old man. So, but no, they were around because I remember coming home. My best friend used to hop the fence in my backyard and was in his yard. So he lived right next door. Him and his younger brother had all the turtle stuff, and I had nothing. And I remember very vividly coming home from school one day, and all four of the turtles were there waiting for me in the kitchen. My sister and mom had gone out and bought all four of them.
Like the action figures?
The action figures, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought that was the coolest thing, and that's like my only memory of it. I don't think I played with them. I didn't really watch the cartoon. Just never got into it.
Adam, do your boys like the turtles?
Yeah, Jake does. Yeah. Jake's like, yeah.
So what we're learning here is that your guys' boys are both cooler than you.
And that's what every father dreams of. You want your kids to be better than you.
It's not very hard in this instance.
No, it's not. You know, it's funny, though, too, is I missed Seton's birthday as well, which I apologize to you, Mark, and to Seton. Mm-hmm. But the reason I miss is my brother David had his 35th birthday, and he's got two little girls. And so they said, Daddy, what's your theme? He goes, well, I don't have a theme. Well, you got to have a theme. We have Frozen. We have Barbies. We have all these themes. So what'd they pick out for him? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There you go.
So show up at David's house, 35 years old. He's wearing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles t-shirt.
Heck yeah. I got one of those.
He's got the cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, Chris, you haven't experienced this yet, but one thing has really shifted since I was a kid, which was a long time ago, granted, but these themed birthday parties, they're everything now. And you are a crappy parent if you do not go spend $100 at least
on the theme.
On a cake. And then, so we had to get the cake, right? So Cachet Bakery, great bakery, by the way. We talked about them before with cake balls. But they did the cake, and then we had to go to Party City, and we got the balloons, and we got all, you know.
The plates, the napkins.
You basically go down an aisle, and they've got theme stuff for everything. Turtles and princesses and whatever. So, you know, you get the confetti, and you get the table lining, and you get all this stuff. And then, of course, presents. And you can't get out of a four-year-old's birthday party without spending $200, $300, $400 pretty dang quick.
Oh, absolutely.
It's ridiculous. I remember my birthday parties basically like loading up a few friends into the station wagon, and we'd go get an ice cream cone from McDonald's.
And it was a great time.
Yeah.
We looked forward to it.
We'd go go-kart racing into Hooters.
Huh. Into Hooters?
Yeah, and then we would go to Hooters.
I thought literally you drove your go-kart into Hooters.
No, those are the Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy in our hometown that he had turned like a station wagon into the Ghostbusters car or something like that.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty cool because he'd be driving down the street and he had speakers. He'd be like, da-na-na-na-na.
He was probably the talk of the town.
Yeah. He'd take it in like parades.
How old were you when you were going to these birthday parties at Hooters?
I don't know. Middle school?
Jeez. I don't know about that, man.
Why?
It explains a lot, though, doesn't it?
Well, I'm just saying. What else
would a sixth grade boy want for his birthday?
Well, most sixth graders aren't into Hooters.
I was.
You're a little pervert, aren't you?
I was
digging. So sixth grade, you're 11 years old, roughly. I don't think most 11-year-old boys are into Hooters.
I think most are, yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I do.
I think that's
your,
a little
your boys
young.
Haven't dropped yet.
You're just starting to notice girls. You might think they're cute, but you don't want to touch their Hooters.
No, I did. I absolutely did.
I feel sorry for your wife.
Well, you're not the only one that said that.
Things must be rough.
We had this exact same conversation yesterday.
Yes, we did.
Ashley was here in the office, and I said, Ashley, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. Are you pawing at her again? Because you've probably been off the wagon for a little while now.
After you see what I saw, it's take your time, honey.
Wait, you had the front row view? You're supposed to be back behind the head.
Well, I did, but unfortunately, after the birth, yeah. I went out to deliver the news that Cammie was here, and then I, during the stitching process.
Oh, you walked in during the stitch.
Let's change the subject, guys. Yeah. Come on. This is a low for the Fawcast right here. We've had some lows.
Did the doctor hook you up with the one extra stitch that they talk about?
I don't even know what that is.
That means that they get a little they get a little tighter than they were before.
Yeah.
That's a well-known medical thing.
I truly don't know. I don't know what happened with that.
See, the highlight of my week is talking about things that make Gray uncomfortable because
which is pretty much anything.
He's squirming.
So speaking of making Gray uncomfortable, we need to get the story on the Cyclone Fanatic nut cups.
So I brought it up.
Yes.
And this is all I know. So you guys were talking about this idea, and in my mind, I immediately thought, there's no way Iowa State's signing off on this because in a sense, it's derogatory towards Iowa State.
Okay. Yes.
We suck. You're going to need your nuts protected. So here's the cup to do it.
Correct.
Okay. And then you guys said, whoa, we hadn't even really talked to them. So where did it go from there?
Well, okay. So this is how it all went down. I guess I was under the impression we're a license through Iowa State because of our logo. It says Cyclone in it. Anything really with Cardinal and gold that says Cyclone in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do what they say.
Yeah.
Basically. And we've made stuff before, but we've never sold it.
Mm-hmm.
Like koozies. We're just handing out. You know what I mean? It's not for profit.
Yeah.
The fact that we were going to be selling these, I'm like, okay, we probably, Mark brought it up. That's a good point. We probably should look into this. So I gave Gray the assignment to call the nice ladies at Trademark and Licensing at Iowa State. I'm big fans of them. And so how did this conversation go, Adam?
Well, first off, I'd like to say thank you to you for passing that off to me.
I can't really tell this conversation did not go well.
You
want to do what?
So, yeah, I called up Darcy, who's
she's great.
Sweetheart.
Yes,
really
we
nice.
Love her.
Yeah, so hopefully, no disrespect, but as I'm telling
the
story.
Dude, I told the story on KXNO multiple times.
Have you?
I've been blasting them on Twitter for it. So,
yeah.
Not blasting them, but just more having fun with it.
Yeah. So I call and I say, you know, Darcy, we haven't, since I've been here, we've never sold anything with you, and we got this idea, and I wasn't sure if we needed to run it by you or not, but, we're looking at getting nut cups that say protect your clones on it. And then right below at the bottom part of the nut cup, it's got the Cyclone Fanatic logo. And there's like a pause. Like okay. Well, usually there's like certain things that we just can't do no matter what.
I'm sure she's heard worse. I'm sure she's like, I bet they've gotten, you know, requests for panties and and all sorts of stuff, I bet.
So she goes, you know, I don't know though on nut cups. I'll be honest. It's the first time I've been ever asked this. And I go, and I apologize. I go, this is probably one of the lowest moments of my life calling you up and asking you this. And she was great about it. And she goes, I'll ask Leisha. I'll ask her and we'll get back to you. So the next week I get called back from Leisha. And she goes, so Darcy and I, we flipped a coin to see who had to call you back on this topic. So she goes, we can't do it. And she goes, the only way we could do it is if you went through a manufacturer that does, we do some bras, we do some underwear and panties. So we do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But even then we probably wouldn't because quite frankly, it's not very, what was the word?
Flattering.
It's not very flattering.
Yep.
And it's really hard to argue with her when she says it like that.
I agree with her completely.
No, if I were in her spot, I probably would do the same thing.
It's a humorous item, but like just the connotation of why do you have to protect your clones? It's like because they're going to kick you there.
Yeah.
So,
I would say the overwhelming majority of our followers and posters took it for what it was—a funny idea, just. Wanting to have fun. And then there's like 3D bags, sorry guys, who get really like personally offended that we would do such a thing.
And I get where people are coming from. The people are tired of this, the woe is me attitude for Iowa State
fans.
It's
not what we're doing.
But it's not. Like the way I look at it, when Naz Long has hip surgery and he's out for 6 months, it's a tough situation, right? It's not ideal. But you put on the nut cup and you say, at least I got the Cyclone Fanatic nut cup to protect my clones today. And you have a little fun of what's a bad situation.
Yes.
You're not celebrating the fact that Naz is hurting out 6 months. You're not celebrating that Matt Abdul-Massey left and went to St. John's. You're just making light of a tough situation.
I think it was your post that I really agreed with where how funny would it be if you're watching the clones like with a group of buddies and you know, you're up 7 with 4 minutes to go. The other team's driving. Hold on, I'll be right back. And you come back and you're wearing your clone nut cup. Like, that's what it's about. It's for fun.
And you buy 6 of them when you pass them out. Here you go, fellas.
You guys could probably still run with your idea. You just got to get a Sharpie and just draw it.
We were thinking about protect your fanatics.
Could do that.
And just not even put our logo on there.
Could do that.
But I want. Did you call about that?
No,
you were going
I
to.
Need to call back. I just. I mean, honest, you it wasn't high in my thing of things.
You wouldn't
to
even
do.
Need to get their permission for that unless
it's
you
cardinal use, and gold though. Is
but
the problem.
Yeah, but you have to specifically use the cardinal and the gold. I mean, they have a specific color
yeah.
that they use. It's not just red and yellow. If you do red and yellow, protect your fanatics. They can't. They can't do anything about
well,
that.
Let's do that.
You know,
do it
because we already own the nut cups.
They,
right?
they don't, yeah, they don't own the trademark on the word fanatics.
We
wouldn't think
we bought like 100 nut cups.
You know, at this point
that
we should
just have compiled.
Clint can do them like get them laser engraved. At this point, let's just go big. Let's
go
them,
big or go home.
Yeah, let's get these things looking real sharp.
There's definitely a demand for these nut cups.
Yeah.
And my idea too is that like Hawk fans would buy them as like gag gifts for their you know what I mean like yeah. the
it's all about having fun.
Jeez,
that's all it is.
I truly like reading that thread could not believe
yeah.
the points that some of these guys were making. It was unreal to me.
About the cups.
Yeah, about like it's contributing to the Iowa State playing the victim card and no, it's not. It's making light of a
those are the same
situation.
People. Those are the same people though that say things like there's nothing funny about X. You know, there's people in the world that say that whatever X is,
yeah.
right? And my thought is you can laugh about pretty much everything
yes.
in life. I can find humor in almost any situation. So people that say that in a blanket way, there's just nothing funny about whatever. It's like, well, you might want to check your sense of humor a little bit.
Yeah. It almost seemed like they thought we were going to have the games of all, every Iowa no. State nut kick on these nut cups. Like
yeah.
the UAB game was going to be like engraved in the inside
no.
of it.
And the one guy's like, I bet Fred Hoiberg wouldn't appreciate it. I guarantee you he would laugh.
Yes, he would.
If I said, hey, Fred, this is what we're doing.
Maybe not publicly, he would, but behind the scenes.
Yes, he absolutely would. There's not a doubt in my mind.
He would actually ask if we could give him one.
Yes.
Come up with a shirt or maybe another nut cup that has like the Big 12 apology angle on it. That you could do that too because that's relevant.
Yeah.
And there's been at least a few examples of that.
All right. Let's get to the hot news right now. Abdul Massey leaves. Otzelberger is hired within 24 hours.
Boom.
I've talked about it a lot, so I'm going to give the floor to you guys. You guys can give your opinions on this, but
you know who's most excited? You
couldn't have done better if you're Fred Hoiberg and finding a replacement.
Who's most excited about this is Applebee's. Because now you go in
the Otzelberger.
And you don't want the Hoiberger. You're not feeling like ham today.
Yeah.
You don't want the Hoiberger. They'll say, no problem. We're going to go with the Otzelberger instead.
Yeah.
And guess what? It comes with Gouda aged for 2 years out of Washington. So that's the perfect the Otzelberger. That's what you do, man.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Have you pitched that to him yet?
No, I have not. I've not. Hopefully, they're listening to it now.
Well, who isn't listening?
I don't know. I don't know what would be on it other than 2-year-old Gouda, aged in the state of Washington.
So, what are your thoughts on TJ coming back and Matt leaving?
I mean, it is what it is. I think we could easily not miss a beat. But and I wish it was clear that we were going to get the all or we weren't. But
I don't.
That's the one element. You know, is it going to matter? Is it not?
Sure, Iowa State had a better chance to land him with Matt. There's no doubt about that. The chances of them getting him now are slim to none, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was like this.
Like he was a...
No, I mean, because the thing that people aren't thinking about is Kentucky's going to... How many guys are going pro from that team?
Probably five.
Yeah. And Diallo, did you watch him in the McDonald's All-American game last night? John Calipari's going after that guy.
He was a lot better than I thought he would be.
Bill Self is going after that guy. So, like, just the whole, well, it was going to come down to Iowa State and St. Joe. No, that's not. It's mm-hmm. not the way it was. It's not the way it is. And if I'm Diallo, and John Calipari's there, now that's another caveat to this
yeah.
thing. Will John Calipari be in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Assuming he is, it's really hard for that guy not to go there.
Yeah.
So I honestly, in my personal and professional opinion, I think people were honestly talking about this Diallo deal way too much because it was going to be, even with Matt Abdul Massey, and he has a great relationship with that family, it was still going to be a chore to have that kid playing in Ames, Iowa next year. It's just like the Rashad Vaughn deal, 2.0.
Yeah. What is the bigger question I had looking from the outside in as a fan is, why is there so much much of a big deal made when it comes to the link between the recruiter and the player. Because the player gets here and then he gets into school and he gets into practice and he plays games or whatever. Meanwhile, the person that mainly recruited them is out recruiting other people. They're flying again around the country doing what they do. It's not like they bunk with this guy. So why do they make such a big deal about the relationship between the recruiter, et cetera? Wouldn't it be a bigger deal, the relationship this guy has with the head coach?
No.
But why not?
Because
how much time are they spending with this guy once he's on campus?
I would say that just in generalized terms, probably half to 75% of these guys, they're committing to a coach. They're not committing to a school. They don't care. A lot of these guys don't – like Diallo does not give a crap about the – he's a one and done, period. If he could, he'd go straight to the NBA.
Yeah.
So in Fred's instance, Fred's not on the road a ton compared to a lot of these guys. He's just not. Matt's his workhorse on the recruiting trail. And I think at the end of the day, the assistant coach is your guy who's your buddy. The head coach is your guy who's your boss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a different type of – and every coach is different. Every scenario is different. But I can tell you on the ground floor, Abdul Massey was the guy, not Hoiberg, on Diallo. I mean, Fred scouted him. Fred made visits. Fred did everything that head coaches do. But Matt was on boots on the ground, man. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, it's,
if it doesn't, tell me, and we can.
It still doesn't seem like that's enough.
I'll tell you what: George Niang committed to a school.
Yeah,
Naz Long committed to a school, and Fred Hoiberg.
The difference is though; those guys knew they were 4-year players.
Yeah, yeah. This kid, Rashad Vaughn, didn't commit to a school. He committed to where you know he's trying to get to the league. And whatever happened in the background there, I don't really know. It's just these one and dones. It's so weird. It's why a lot of people want to see it. Change in that, make him be in school for 2 years or 3 years or whatever. But it really has clouded a lot of this recruiting process.
Do you think, and you have no way of knowing this other than speculation, but that's all I'm asking for is speculation. Do you think that players at, I'll signal on Kentucky because of who they are, but players at Kentucky, especially, let's assume Diallo goes there for his 1 year, are players getting paid to go? These one and done type players come here for 1 year, and specifically by a booster. A booster's got $50,000 laying around. He wants
In one way or another, they're probably getting a kickback. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say yes, he's getting paid. I think Calipari's deal sells itself. I mean, his track record with one and dones.
Wouldn't you love to know what he says in a living room?
God,
I mean, essentially, I would assume it is something along the lines of, hey, we both know you're going to go to the NBA. I'm your pit stop on the way. We'll sign you up for the worst classes possible. Second semester, you don't even need to go, and I won't be on you about it. I mean, I wonder if he actually comes out and basically says that, or if he pretends and says, well, you know, education's real important. We're going to want you to be in class. I mean, I wouldn't even think he'd go there with these guys.
Now, if you want to know why or how Calipari gets all these players, just Google World Wide West. Just do it and read up on it. And
is that a valid source you're giving me?
World Wide West. Yep.
That's well. Tell us about it. Tell us about it. I mean,
he is a very powerful person in sports with a lot of connections who sits behind Calipari for a lot of games and has a way of helping to get players into Kentucky.
That's the way it is all across. It's not like not a head coach going up and handing a kid $500. That's
more
not how it works. It's somebody behind the scenes, slipping mom. All of a sudden, there's money in her bank account. You know what I mean? That's how it is. It's not – I mean, like the Cliff Alexander thing, Bill Self didn't have anything to do with that we know of.
Or these kids have guaranteed shoe deals lined up for when they do leave.
Which is illegal, but
But, I mean, it's a wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah. You leave here, you're going to have a $15 million
Nike deal. The agents are the problem, Mark. They're the nasty ones.
Well, the problem is the rules in general which dictate that you have to go to a year of college.
Correct.
And now anything to do with college.
The NBA, and I don't agree with everything Jamie Pollard said about this, but the NBA is basically using college basketball as like its farm system because the D-League isn't.
It is, and people like to use football as an example too, but there's a massive difference between an 18-year-old that's, you know, 6'9", 250 pounds, ready to go to the NBA, going to the NBA after leaving high school in the game of basketball versus football. you get a guy that just graduated from high school going into the NFL, that's not going to go well. So you need that seasoning in football to do it. So that makes sense to me. And I don't think too many people fight against that. But in basketball, it's just, it makes the whole thing look very hypocritical. They're student athletes. Well, in the cases of players like Diallo, no, they're not. And everybody knows they're not. So let's not pretend that is something that it isn't.
Yeah.
I think that's dumb.
Yeah. The Diallo deal, again, I'm not saying Iowa State wouldn't have gotten him or that they're not going to get him. I don't think Iowa State's just going to quit recruiting him. They put too many hours. And that's a, not even shady. That's not the word. But that's the bitch of this whole deal is like how much money and time has Iowa spent on its recruiting budget on Diallo with Matt Abdul-Massey. Now Matt's gone. It's not Matt's fault. I'm not blaming Matt. But that's the – all these assistant coaches are basically independent contractors. And if they leave from one school to another, they're still going to be recruiting a guy. You know what I mean? They all have their guys underneath their wing, which makes them attractive and which makes other people want to hire them.
But wouldn't it seem crazy if you're the player getting recruited and you've got this recruiting coach coming after you saying, we're a great school, this is the place to be, you'll love Ames, Iowa, blah, 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 blah. Boom, that coach goes to St. John's. And now the next call is, you're going to love St. John's, you should come here. It's like, well, wait a minute. You were just telling me all the benefits of Iowa State.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd see through that. I think these players would too. It's like, okay, well, I don't know. It's the way the system works, and you know, it is what it is.
The system won't be like this for long. They're going to make tweaks.
My question to you, though, Chris, is you talk about the players like Vaughn and Diallo, and almost in a sense that we keep hearing that we're on their list, right? But they're not choosing us. Diallo probably won't choose us, according to what you're saying, et cetera. So do we ever have a shot at these guys, these one and done?
But the best Iowa State's ever done is go to a Sweet 16. Like have
so
more.
You're saying we have to go Final Fours
it would help.
Best under Hoiberg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody cares what you did.
But the other side of the coin, you're almost saying like these players really don't care where they go. They're looking for a pit stop.
They want to win. They want to go somewhere where they can be on the national stage and show off.
Yeah.
And hopefully get to the NBA. Fred. I mean, Fred's great as far as that goes with the NBA stuff. I mean, that's legit. That's still very real, and that's the reason why Iowa State's on these lists. But I think they need to do more. And I truly think if Rashad Vaughn would have come to Iowa State, then the floodgates would have been open and you would have seen maybe another guy come.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of how these kids work. I don't know. That's the best answer I can give you.
And it's really the only thing from holding Iowa State back from taking that next step to elite status, in my opinion, under Fred Hoiberg. His system's in place. The fans are there. Great conference. They've been ranked for, what, 2 straight years?
Yeah.
He just needs some elite players.
Yeah.
Because I still don't see...
He's doing a lot with not as much as everybody else.
Anymore, I'm seeing less of a difference between Kansas and Iowa State. And I say that acknowledging full well that I'm a homer, but we compete with them head-to-head. You can't tell me that living in Lawrence, Kansas is all that much different than Ames, other than they getting a special dorm built for them now, which is supposedly incredible. But my point is Kansas is getting those guys. Oubre is there a year and gone. Embiid a year and gone. They're getting them. We're not. So what's it take to step up just a little bit and be able to grab the guys
Kansas
from Kansas?
Is probably the
tradition.
Most. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but tradition doesn't mean you're going to go to the Final Four this year.
No, but when you ask anybody, be like, top teams in college basketball, go. It's one of the first ones you're going to think of. You're going to think Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, North Carolina. You know what I mean? Iowa State's not on that list.
Yeah.
Maybe in 10 years they will be. I hope they are. Be really good for everybody. But I just that's the easy answer.
Yeah.
They've won 11 straight Big 12 championships. Well, Iowa State's not on their level. Beat them. They're not on that level.
And to get these guys, and going back to the original question where this all started, how do we feel about Matt leaving and TJ taking over? And Matt did a lot of great things at Iowa State. He brought in a lot of good transfers. And this is not a knock on Matt, but it is what it is. He did not bring in high-level high school talent.
This is true.
And that is the one thing that I keep stressing is just missing for Iowa State to get over the top. TJ showed to bring in really good players for a really crappy team. Mm-hmm. He was bringing in players with Greg McDermott when we stunk.
NBA players.
I mean, he brought in Melvin Ejim to Iowa State when Fred Hoiberg was hired and no one knew if Fred Hoiberg was going to be able to coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought in players then.
That was now, the thing, too. Like, without TJ being on that staff, I doubt Melvin would have stayed at Iowa State.
No, absolutely
he would have gone to, like, Boston College or one of those other places close to his home.
And now TJ can sell a program that is 10 times better off than it was when he was here before.
True.
So I think there is an opportunity for Iowa State to get higher level high school players under TJ than they did before. And so I think it's I think it's a net positive.
No,
I really do.
I would probably agree with that. Long term, especially just because I've been really concerned looking at the scholarship chart in 2 years because the one constant you've had with Iowa State basketball is they've always had these 4-year guys who are the glue to everything going on, and the transfers are a nice addition to that. And I tell you what, I mean, when this next class graduates, there's no 4-year guy other than Matt Thomas and Monte Morris, but I'm not convinced Monte Morris will even be here for his senior year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Clayton Custer just left. They need some guys. But having said that, you've got a Hollis Cook who will be in the program for 3 years. I mean, I'm fine with the transfer. I like seeing these transfers who will be here for like 3 years and 2 years and not just one and done. I like that a lot. I'm all about program continuity, and I think that you don't have to do – they're going to always recruit transfers. Fred Hoiberg's a firm believer in transfers. Tim Floyd is one of Hoiberg's greatest coaching influences, and one of the first things Tim Floyd told Fred when he got this job is you got to use transfers, you got to use JUCOs, you can't just recruit high school kids and win at Iowa State. So they're always going to do it, but I think there has to be a mix, and you've really seen a drop off of that as of late.
They haven't had a high school kid commit to them in 2.5 years.
Just since Custer.
Clayton Custer.
And he's out.
Yeah, so then the one before that was Monte Morris, and that was, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Matt, I mean, those two together, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not get a high school kid to commit to you in 3 years?
Well,
they
haven't been recruiting many. I mean, the only ones they've been recruiting are these McDonald's All-Americans.
That's the biggest BS excuse ever.
Why?
I get so tired of hearing. So you recruit two McDonald's All-Americans?
That's what they've been doing.
Just two guys.
Who else have they been going after?
I don't know, but why? Why is my question?
I don't know. Ask Fred Hoiberg.
There's only so many hours in the day. I mean, you can only recruit so many guys.
They're
you only have so many spots
on these elite kids. I mean, there have been others, like Reed Travis comes to mind, and there's some kids in 2016 that they're after.
Yeah, but Reed Travis, as soon as TJ took that job, was probably out the door, right? I mean, wasn't he?
No, Matt was on him.
Matt was on him. Okay, well, regardless.
He was never coming to Iowa State anyway.
I
don't believe.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gone after Cheick Diallo, and we've gone after Rashad Vaughn, and everyone says we're going after these high-level guys. That's two guys. I'm sorry. You need to have three high school guys, a class that you're really focusing on. Where are the other guys? Who are we going after? Why can't we get them? We're still spending all this money. Did you see the Des Moines Register article?
No.
You didn't, that Chad Listico, your boy, wrote about how much money Iowa State spends on recruiting budget?
No, I haven't seen it. No.
I mean, it's outrageous how much money we spend. And we're bringing in better players, but recruiting transfers is not expensive. You recruit these people for 2 weeks; it can't cost a lot of money. So
it's a different world.
Yeah, it's not an expensive world. So we're spending all this money recruiting high school players for the last 3 years, and we're not getting it.
They're in on a couple guys, and it hasn't worked.
I would hope that they're going to relook at their strategy on that.
Well, if they don't get Diallo and go 0-2, I would think that they would.
Yeah,
yeah. You guys want to play a game?
Sure. Do you have a game organized for us today?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Nice. You're going down, C-Dub.
Well,
is it?
Unfortunately, there's not really a winner. This is more for the enjoyment of our audience.
Oh, great.
So everyone's a winner.
I'm putting you guys on the spot. But like I said before, the only way this game works is if you answer honestly.
I think I've proven today that I'm honest. You know, when you asked about making love to my wife, I think I've proven that I'll be pretty much honest about anything.
All right, so here's the way the game works, and you both
hold on 1 second, Gray. When Juliet Owen, did you see anything?
Let's start the game.
Okay, so here's you both get to answer this. We'll start with Chris. We'll go to Adam. The name of the game, and you may have heard of this before, but the name of this game is called Shag, Marry, Kill.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've played this game a bunch of times.
Shag, Marry, Kill.
You probably didn't say shag.
Yeah, it was a different word.
It's an edited version. So okay. For those that are not familiar with this game.
I love this game.
I'm going to list three people.
Carper and I play this game all the time.
Yes, so I'm going to list three people, and both Chris and Adam are honestly going to say, and here's the caveat, they don't really want to murder anybody, of course, but hey, that's the way the game works. So they have to tell me out of the three people which one they would shag or have sexual relations with, for people that aren't Austin Powers familiar, which one they would marry and which one they would kill. And they have to pick one for each person. Are okay. are you boys ready?
Yes.
We got six sets of three here to go through. Ready? All right. Number one, Chris. Courtney, Kim, and Khloe Kardashian. Shag, marry, kill.
Which one was married to Lamar Odom?
That was Khloe.
I'd kill her.
Okay.
I'd probably shag Courtney.
Courtney? Courtney, man.
I'd marry Kim.
Okay.
Dude,
okay.
That yeah.
All right.
Every night.
You don't have to explain yourself.
Yep.
I've never watched the Kardashians in my life.
But you still, like, if you're a human being, you should know who they are.
I know Khloe because she was married to Lamar Odom and Lamar played for the Lakers.
Yep.
I agree. I'd probably kill her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would probably shag Kim.
Kim?
Yeah. I don't know anything. What's the other girl's name?
Courtney.
Hopefully she's the marrying type because I don't know anything about her.
I think you just went with the most, like, most people would answer your way.
Yeah.
But I'm a big Kim guy.
You actually watch the show, don't you?
No, I don't. I just know who they are because they're everywhere.
Huh. Yeah, I don't follow
I've never seen the show, swear to God.
All right, by the way, so we're changing things up here a little bit, and we are going to talk about some dudes. So I'm sorry, you still have to play the game.
What?
All right, ready?
God.
All right, so second set, ready? Shag Murray kill, Chris Williams. Tom Brady, David Beckham, Fred Hoiberg. Shag Murray kill. We're going sports on this one.
I'd marry Fred.
Marry Fred?
Okay. I'd kill Beckham.
Okay.
And I would shag Tom.
There you go.
No question. That's pretty easy, actually.
Pass.
No passing.
No passing.
No passing.
Unbelievable. Well, the obvious answer for Marion is Fred.
Okay.
I mean, just because of how dreamy he is, and you get to wake up next to that every day.
Okay.
You can't beat that.
Jeez. Now you're getting into details, man.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
I would this is awful. What a terrible game this is. I would shag David Beckham.
There you go.
Because I think that all the he'd probably be pretty wild in the sack.
He doesn't want to answer it. Now he's going into great detail.
He would probably go on for quite a while. And
okay.
Then I don't know how you kill Tom Brady, but he would be the one I'd kill.
He'd be the one. Hey, it's a tough game.
I actually
sometimes
almost married Tom over Fred. I thought about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to go.
No, wait. Is Tom, is it a package deal? Do you get Gazelle or whatever?
No. Just the
just
one.
Okay,
just the man.
All right, we're going to go local here, okay, to my favorite news station.
Oh, gosh.
Shag, marry, kill. Ready?
This seems like it's going to be incredibly inappropriate. I don't know if I can go down this road.
You got to go down this road.
No.
This is our forecast. Ready? This is the only local one. Then we'll go back to national.
But I don't want this like to... No.
It doesn't... No. You can preface it any way you want to. Ready? Aaron Kiernan. Courtney Johns. Jennifer McDermott.
I can't answer this.
I don't know any of them.
Because...
You wuss.
No, I'm sorry. Like, has, like, sexual harassment written all over it.
Oh, jeez.
I know these people, and I know it's going to get back to them, and I know I'm friends with one of the women you mentioned's boyfriend.
He would marry all of them.
Basically...
Yes, I would marry all of them.
All right, Adam, you don't work there. You don't know them.
I cannot answer that.
I honestly, I don't know them. I don't even know what they look like.
This is so inappropriate,
do you,
Mark.
Do you not watch TV?
Yeah, like I watch ever? Sports.
This one has crossed the line.
Oh, jeez.
This one crossed the line, Mark.
The one where he asked if we were shagging dudes? That one didn't cross the line?
No, because those guys are all like, and the Fred thing's funny. Everybody would laugh at that. These are like real-life women who we bump into.
So you don't think Aaron Kiernan would, if you gave her our three names, would play along and say, okay, just for the sake of the game, I'll play along.
I truly don't think she would do it on the record. No, I mean, without a microphone.
Journalist.
If she did, I would be the one she'd marry for sure.
Fine.
Let's be
fine. So after this is over, after our podcast is over, I'm going to ask you.
Okay, I'll do it.
You're going to answer.
Off the record.
All right. We got three more. No one you know. Ready?
Okay.
Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Conan O'Brien.
Jeez, that's
easy. I'd kill O'Brien.
Okay.
I'd shag Kimmel, and I would marry Fallon. I love Fallon.
Okay.
I'm in love with
him. That was a pretty easy one for you.
That's easy for me. It's the exact same.
Exact same.
And I used to love Conan, man, but I just – the whole – TBS thing, tough.
You're not a fan.
No, I like Conan just fine, but he's not shaggable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just can't. Yeah.
Okay. This one's specifically for Chris, and it's the last set of dudes. So
it's all guys.
No, there's another girl one coming up.
Okay.
All right. Jordan Knight, Donnie Wahlberg, Joey McIntyre.
Are those all NKOTBs?
Yeah, absolutely. New Kids on the Block.
McIntyre is my hubby.
Okay. All right. Killing Donnie Wahlberg or Jordan Knight?
Jordan Knight.
Killing him?
And I'd shag Wahlberg just because he's a Wahlberg.
There you go.
I don't know any three of these. I don't know what they look like.
Step by step.
I'm sorry.
I'm surprised you knew what Jimmy Fallon looked like based on your answers and Jimmy Kimmel. Like, that's your standby. I don't know who these people are. I never go online. I never look at
magazines.
New
kids on the block. I'm sorry. I don't have a poster hanging from my bedroom wall like Williams does.
I do.
My wife made me take that down.
Did she?
All right, last one. We're back to girls here.
Thank God. And
hopefully these are current pop stars. So yep. Hopefully you guys know these people.
All right.
Ready? Selena Gomez.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. How old is she of age?
She's like 21.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. All of these are of age. Yeah.
Jeez.
Selena Gomez, Ariana Grande.
Is she of age?
Yes.
Okay.
I got a Google picture.
And Iggy Azalea.
I don't know who she looks like.
Iggy's married. Or she's dating Swaggy P, right?
I don't know who she's dating.
Swaggy P.
Look up Iggy Azalea real quick so Chris can see what she looks
like. Iggy Azalea.
Oh, gosh.
If you even start to put in Google, Google will help you out with that one.
Yeah.
Selena Gomez, Ariana Grande, Iggy Azalea.
I don't think Iggy Azalea is very attractive.
So you killing her?
Yeah.
But she's dating Swaggy P, so she's got extra
Selena Gomez, I think I know what she looks like.
Yeah. And who's a third?
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande is gorgeous, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez is really hot, too.
Ariana Grande looks like she's 10.
Yeah, I know. That's why I felt really awkward about this.
I assure you, they're all over the age of 18.
I still feel very wrong.
Right? I'd shag Grande.
Okay.
Mary Gomez.
Mary Gomez?
Yeah.
All right.
More my type.
What do you got, Adam?
I would.
God, this is just so inappropriate.
It really is. This is a terrible game.
Like, this
game.
Is so, like, crossing the line.
You guys.
Just because he's an advertiser, it doesn't mean we have to play by these games, do we?
I think it does.
Absolutely.
I think it does. Mark Charter Real Estate.
Absolutely.
MarkCharter.com.
All right. Let's see here. I would.
Jeez.
I'm sorry. Any girl that is dating Swaggy P is good enough for me to marry.
All right.
I mean, I love that.
That's
dude.
A respectable
so you're,
answer.
You're marrying Iggy Azalea.
Any girl that dated Justin Bieber needs to be killed.
Okay,
sorry,
Selena Gomez is out.
And so that means
that's who I'm marrying.
You're shagging Ariana Grande.
The girl who's she's cute. She's
well
cute.
Done, boys. Well done.
What's the big song she sings?
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of I've been in, and this is something Chris would not do, but I've been in a situation where you're in a group of friends, mm-hmm. right, and you're playing. Basically, like the Newlywed Game or whatever. Have you ever been to a party like that where you're like, you know, what's the color of your spouse's toothbrush or something? You ask all these questions as far as do you know your significant other, basically. And one of those, and this reminds me of it because of how awkward you guys felt with the local celebrity angle.
That was inappropriate.
Was that one of the questions is if you couldn't basically be with your partner and marry your who you're married to, who in the room would you marry? And that's always interesting for discussion. I've been in rooms where that's the question. So, okay, I can't marry you, but then ultimately my wife is picking one of my buddies who's in the room. It never bothered me. It just didn't.
It wouldn't bother me.
You know, but it's kind of along the lines of the same thing.
No, I would play that game.
So what's the difference?
Because it's on. It's not a group of friends.
You're literally worried about sexual harassment right now, aren't you?
A little bit.
Well, because he's saying he would kill one of the people.
Jeez.
Well, you're
assuming right
you're
now.
You're going way too far with the local people.
You're making it seem like all three of those women have no sense of humor.
No, I know they all do.
Well, there you go. They would have said, "Chris, I can't believe you would have killed me. That's horrible." Blah blah blah. Now they'll never know. Now they're just left to wonder which one you would kill.
Jeez. Can we please move on?
Hey, it's your show, man. I just pay for it.
Hey, Mark. True story. I live in a neighborhood where...
I don't know where you live in urban there.
I invited you last Saturday and you didn't come. Remember? To watch the games?
Because it's an hour and a half away.
Everywhere is an hour and a half away from Johnston. Is it me or is Johnston the worst location in all of the metro to live? You can't get to anywhere easily from Johnston.
We like it that way. We keep the riffraff out.
Johnston's not difficult to get to.
Yeah, it sucks.
86th Street exit right
there.
Off the interstate.
Merle Hay.
It's not.
How's that Dolls working out?
It's not Dolls anymore. It's Price Shoppers.
Why would you go to Price Shoppers when you can go to Fairway or Hy-Vee?
That's where I go. So why are we talking about this?
I'm real interested to see how Price Chopper does.
What about American Furniture? That worked out really
This is Hy-Vee's territory here.
It's a terrible community.
Price Chopper is encroaching on
all you
Hy-Vee's
have is a
territory.
Golf dome. Sorry.
Yeah, no, Johnston's got... Yeah, they do have the Golf Dome.
That's all you have is the Golf Dome. And you have that crappy like place where people camp on the interstate.
Cuddy's. That crap. And we have,
you have.
We have Adam Gray Field, too, so suck it, Williams.
You know what, though?
I live in Johnston. I want to get downtown. See you in 45 minutes.
Just outside of Johnston, just barely outside of Johnston, you've got a rock climbing wall. You got Climb Iowa.
It's pretty much Johnston.
But it's not. It's Grimes.
It's not
you've
Johnston.
Got,
that's Grimes.
You've got Sky Zone, which is basically also not Johnston.
It's not Grimes. Johnston.
You've got that's the go-karts.
What does Johnston actually have?
You've got the go-kart place, which is also not
that's
Johnston.
That's in Grimes.
That's in Grimes.
Yeah.
So Johnston, the slogan...
Nice homes, nice people, good schools.
The slogan for Johnston should be so close to cool stuff.
Yeah.
That should be the slogan.
Except they're not close. They're not close to anything.
I should not critique Johnston too much because I've been selling homes rather quickly over there, so people do want to move.
I don't get why people want to move there.
Good schools, good people.
So, no, back to what I was saying. So, in my neighborhood, there's just people, there's houses popping up left and right. Like, it's crazy. So, my home now, it used to be one of the... Not the most expensive on the block, but it was one of. Mm-hmm. Now these new homes are all like valued at, they're all being sold for like probably $50,000 more than what I paid.
Yeah.
And my home is worth probably, I don't know, $20,000 to $30,000 more than when I moved in because of the development of the community.
Yeah.
So is this good for me that all these higher price homes are moving in?
Sure.
That's what I thought.
You should thank Bloom.
You never want to be the highest priced home on the block.
Now I'm right in the middle.
So yeah, with new construction, here's what happens. When new construction comes into a neighborhood, especially at a higher price point, when you go to sell your house, it's going to make it easier and more desirable to sell it because people can't build what you've got at that price anymore.
And I have bigger yard too because my house was built when Bondurant was actually blowing up.
So you see that like in Ankeny where we're doing the podcast from, you see this all the time where I'm about to list a house today in the 180s in Ankeny. You can't go build new for 180s. So somebody that's in that price range, that's where they're looking. They don't have new as an option.
Yeah.
So that means less options available to them, means more demand for that home, means Mark's going to sell this house within the week. That's what happens. And your house is probably in that same category.
I would think, I don't know enough about it, but I would guess that mine would sell within a week.
Well,
don't you think, Adam, you know a lot more about this than I do.
Yeah.
You've actually been to his house.
It's a ranch, finished basement. You guys have
big backyard.
Big backyard, fenced-in backyard. Yeah, it would sell fast.
Here's another thing I'm kicking around.
Yeah.
So how much, if any, value? I've got it's a two-car garage. Mm-hmm. It's a small two-car garage. Now, I've got this fenced-in backyard with a gate that's to the right of my garage, to the north of my garage. The gate comes open, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if I would pour concrete up that side of the house for like an extra driveway spot, does that add value to my home? If so, how much, or am I just wasting my time?
You mean a parking slab?
Yeah.
That's a good question because I'm looking at doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it would. Questions like that are tough because some things add clear value. Like if you completely renovate your kitchen and just deck it out, that's going to add clear value. If you finish a basement, clear value. Something like that may not necessarily be, okay, you've added $5,000, but what it will do is separate you from your competition in the same price point. And that's significant because if you're the leader of, say there's 10 homes all priced near yours and yours goes the fastest, you will get a better offer, hence you will make more money. If I can sell your house in one day or one week, you're going to get pretty close to your asking price. If it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 months to sell your house, you're going to make much less money. So what's it cost to do that becomes a question. Is it $3,000, $4,000, $5,000? I could make the argument, yes, you'll make that back because you'll be more desirable, you'll sell quicker, et cetera. But it isn't as easy as saying your house is worth $200,000 today. If you do this, it's worth $210,000 tomorrow. It isn't, the numbers just don't work that way.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, shows like HGTV or, you know, they all say, oh, if you do this, it adds this.
Dude.
It's not necessarily true.
I hate HGTV. My wife's obsessed with that channel. Freaking, she DVRs House Hunters.
Yeah.
And the poor gal, I mean, she's breastfeeding all the time and she needs stuff to watch. I get it. But that damn House Hunter show's on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's on all the time.
Yeah.
It's on 24 hours a day.
Didn't I tell you, I've ever told you how that show and most shows on TV are a little BS, but that one specifically, did I ever tell you about the kind of the behind the scenes on House
No.
Hunters? So they came here to film, and I was asked if I wanted to do it, and at the time I didn't. This was back in 2007, maybe. I'd only been doing real estate for a couple of years, but they ended up filming an episode with another agent in our office here in town.
Did they do downtown, like in Beaverdale?
They may have. I mean, this one I'm talking about was Ankeny.
Okay.
So I watch the show now from a different angle, because in this particular instance, the people that were on the show House Hunting had already purchased their home. So before the show ever came, they already knew. They had a house under contract. They knew which one. So basically, the agent took them back to that house, and then they just found two others, and he went in and showed, and they acted like they were making a decision. And it was all filmed in basically the same day. They make it look like it's over a couple of days. So when you watch the show, if you like the show and you're watching it, assume that they've already purchased a home and try to guess which one they're acting like, oh, this is actually the home we're going to buy.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, TV's a lie. It just is. You know, I think people get mad when they hear stuff like that, but it's like it's built for one purpose, and that's for entertainment, so they're going to lie their butt off.
It's like when you watch, like, The Bachelor. I mean, if you ever read anything about how that's filmed, like those rose ceremonies, you know, these things will last, like, 6-7 hours, because he'll pick one, and then he goes to the background, and the producers are like, okay, we needed to make it dramatic, so we're going to make you pick this chick. And then in order.
Yeah, I've always wondered about the order. I've always wondered, especially on the first couple of nights on a show like that, the names.
Yeah.
How does he remember the names? Yeah. Are they literally cutting between each one?
Yeah, I read this thing about it, actually.
And he'll go over and he'll look at the roster and be like, okay, this one
girl this year, like, passed out.
Yeah.
Because they drink at these ceremonies and stuff.
They get trashed.
This girl passed out, and it made her look like she was incredibly drunk. What they didn't tell you is this rose ceremony was going on at like 6 o'clock in the morning. They had been up for like, you know, it started at like 8 o'clock at night. They're tired.
Yeah.
Been on their feet. They're wearing heels.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're right, though. I mean, all this reality TV stuff, I mean, it's all just a big sham just for our entertainment purposes. I'm a big fan of like the like Discovery stuff, like the Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
That type of stuff, I'd like to know how much assistance they're actually getting.
Well, it's like all these shows where there's like this element of death to it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's no element of death. They're not putting these people in situations where they might actually die. And you know, like Bear Grylls when he goes out there.
Dude, I love Bear Grylls.
And does stuff. I mean, it's those are kind of cool. I'm sure those are a little bit on the edge.
Would you think less of me if I told you I read Bear's book?
I already think less of you than whatever.
I'm obsessed with like the adventure shows. There's this one guy named Josh Gates. He used to do the Destination Truth on Sci-Fi. Now he has a new show on it's on like travel.
Yeah.
Expedition or something like that. I haven't watched it yet, but I have them all DVR'd. But this guy like goes out and he investigates like different like legends around the world. So like if there's like supposedly like a haunted like he went to King Tut's tomb.
Yeah.
And he freaking spent the night in there and was doing all the like ghost surveillance and stuff like that. It was just crazy.
Chris is obsessed with ghosts.
He is obsessed with ghosts.
I love ghosts.
Is there any ghost tours locally that you know of?
Down in Villisca. Villisca Axe Murder
House. Oh, the Axe.
Yeah. I took a selfie next to it a few months ago.
Next to a ghost?
No, the Axe Murder House. My wife spent the night in there one time.
You can actually spend the night there.
Yeah, that's right. It's not that expensive either. We should totally do it, Mark. And there's a ghost hunter who follows me on Twitter. He's a big Cyclone fan. So I was watching like the Ghost Hunter like live marathon on Halloween this year and like tweeting updates during it because I'm obsessed with it. And this guy sent me a DM. I could get a hold of him. And he told me he would take me ghost hunting with he and his boys. They're ghost hunters.
Are there any abandoned insane asylums in Iowa? Do we know of any? Are there any old hospitals?
Back in Clarinda, the MHI, it's shutting down. That'll be available here pretty quickly. My grandfather, there's a museum there, the old Clarinda MHI, and my grandpa's old office, he used to be the administrator there, and it has been preserved. Like that's part of the museum. You go in there, it's great. There's like pictures of me as a baby.
Did you see, speaking of this and ghosts, I doubt there's any ghosts here, but I was seeing online the other day, and this happened I think a few years back, but these two guys just randomly went into the Houston Astrodome. Have you seen the photos?
Uh-uh. Dude.
So they went into the Astrodome. Yeah. They got in somehow. It's been abandoned for a long time at this point. But
are you sure it wasn't Detroit? Because I saw this with Detroit, too.
It was the Astrodome, for sure.
I saw this with the Detroit's old field,
too. And they went around, and there's just one photo after another. This is at night of, like, their media room and locker room. And there's literally just computers still sitting on desks. It's like they didn't even clear the place out. It's like they found out there was, like, a bomb scare and just left.
It's like Chernobyl.
Yeah, basically. And I can't believe it hasn't been torn down. I mean, they're not using it.
So the one in Detroit, before they had Ford Field, they did the same thing. And it's even worse, Mark, because I've seen them both.
Yeah.
The one in Detroit, there's like...
There's probably people living there, isn't there?
No.
Oh.
No, but there's...
It's not a homeless camp.
You can add them because the roof had been... like broken,
yeah.
You know, like happened to the Metrodome,
yeah.
And there's like grass growing, like there's just like mold everywhere.
I saw that one too. And they are
really
different.
It's really sad.
They are different. So if we have a listener out there that's got a good place for us to go check out some ghosts, some like an old mental hospital, an old prison, you know, something that's just abandoned that we can go check out.
I would love to go down. And the Axe Murder House is actually pretty easy to get.
How many people were chopped up in that thing? Do you know?
Like a whole family.
And who did it?
We don't know.
Literally, it was unsolved?
Still a mystery.
You guys will have to let me know how that goes.
Why are you such a wuss?
Yeah, why do you hate fun?
I don't know if I would consider it fun to go to a house in which a whole family was chopped up by an axe. I just, that doesn't really seem like fun to me.
You're investigating.
Can you still?
What am I investigating?
Well, I have equipment where we could do an EVP
session. Can you still see the blood? Can you do the blood? Can you see it?
I've never been there. I've just been to the outside.
Here's a true story, and this is why I ask if you can see the blood, because a lot of people would think, oh, of course you can't, or whatever. But when I was a young lad, I think it was only 6 or 7, we went to Washington, D.C., and right across from Ford Theater, where Lincoln was shot, is the house where they took him. So it's literally right across the street. And you can go in there and see the bed where he died, and the pillow that he laid on is encased in glass, still has blood stains on it. And that was in 1865.
Wow.
I believe.
I don't think that there's... I think that... So there's also an axe murder museum.
Yeah.
In Villisca, and I think all that stuff's there. I think they took it out of the actual house.
Like the axe is there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The axe is there.
How weird is that, that there's a museum celebrating...
It's not celebrating. It's like this is a worldwide known
I want to know how
case.
It became so famous, because people get murdered all the time.
I mean, there's still... Like Travel Channel came and did one of their things there. I mean, it's like a worldwide deal.
I've certainly heard of it.
They're not celebrating. You sound like the guy with the nut cups.
I'm glad you picked up on the word celebrating.
No, it's just... Like, you got to realize in Villisca, Iowa, there's literally nothing. They don't even have their own high school anymore. So, like, that's...
This is it.
People will drive, like, when they're driving through the town, though, they'll see... They've heard of Villisca before, and they'll go and look for it. It's all the town has.
Huh.
All right, so if you're listening out there and you got a cool place for not Adam Grade to go to, but for Chris and I to go to,
check
it out. We'll go take a look somewhere.
I'm hoping that experience...
Let us know on Twitter.
That one ghost hunter guy is listening. He's a big fanatic. And I think he's like a pastor too.
See, I'm not big into the ghost thing. Like, I just like to go because I think it'd be kind of cool to see and hear the story and go to a place that's abandoned or
you
whatever.
You don't believe? You're a non-believer?
I don't know. I'm torn. Torn on it.
Do you think that my whole point is, I've never had an experience, but are all these people full of crap?
Maybe.
I don't believe that.
Maybe.
I have more faith in humanity than you do.
So all the people that
how many Scientologists
been abducted by aliens or seen UFOs, are they all full of crap?
No, I don't think so.
You think that's real too?
We have this giant universe, and you're arrogant enough to believe that we are literally the only beings in it.
See, that's where I have a problem, and that's where I tend to agree with Chris. Is I've seen, within the last 2 months or so, I saw a video online, I think it was going around Facebook, that kind of put it in perspective how tiny Earth is compared to everything that's out there. And it was mind-blowing how small we are. And so when you think about that, what's the likelihood that there's not another Earth somewhere, et cetera? It's kind of like, well, the probability is probably there might be.
I would say there's a better chance that there are other beings somewhere else than...
Yeah.
Not.
But I mean, are they
are we ever going to meet them? Probably
are
not.
They green and slimy? But
the question is people have said they've seen UFOs. They've seen aliens.
I believe that.
You believe it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I believe in UFOs in a sense that a UFO by definition is an unidentified flying object.
Yep.
And there's plenty of videos with stuff like that. So that's the point. You don't know what they are. They're unidentifiable.
Especially the ones from like 1990 where we didn't have like computers to screw with video and stuff like that. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Haven't you seen the movie Signs? That was pretty much based on true life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Great, great movie. So I like how aliens always kind of look the same in every movie.
Yeah.
There's just a slight variation from one movie to another.
Independence Day.
Yeah. It would be cool if we met aliens and they looked like a, you know, a loaf of bread or something.
I want to do a whole podcast where all we talk about are ghosts, aliens.
Gray won't be here for that.
Yeah.
Mark, do you want to do that sometime?
Sure. I'll do whatever, man.
That'd be so much fun.
I'll do whatever. We need to do, you know what we need to do? We need to do a podcast based on what the listeners actually want. So
I'm
all for people that, other than the people that say, I want you to talk about cyclones for the whole hour. You know, if anyone out there's got a good suggestion.
Yeah, we need to put that up on Twitter. Ask the fans what they want.
If anyone has something they want us to, you know, not only talk about, but go do.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go do some stuff, you know? Chris apparently is willing to do most things. He drew the line today.
I'll do anything other than sexually harass local media personalities.
Chris is Mr. Sensitive over there. That's what he is. Can't wait for this thing to end so you'll answer the question for me.
Speaking of that, we gotta wrap it up.
I'm ready, man.
All right. Thanks, Mark. MarkCharter.com.
You bet.
Adam Gray. AdamGray.com. Does that exist? Do you have your own website?
No, not anymore.
Look up AdamGray.com, see what pops up.
So long, everybody. We'll be back next week.